Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Corey and I have a great show for you this weekend. We're going to start out with an old friend, gentleman who's been on the show a number of times, both on doing daily editorials and also on the weekend show. His name is Valentin Schmidt. Valentin lives in Munich, Germany. He is the business editor of a very, very interesting newspaper entitled The Epoch Times. The Epoch Times, interestingly enough, focuses not exclusively, but to an extent, on what's going on in mainland China, both from a business and, I have to say, from a social standpoint. They make some very, very interesting points. But what Corey and I wanted to chat with Valentin about is, you know, it's really in the news right now, in the financial news anyway, how China is really foraging ahead, pushing the idea that we need to have an international currency of last resort that is asset-based, okay? And we know that it would appear that with all of the gold that China is buying right now, mainland China is buying right now, that they are definitely going in the direction of having an asset-based currency in China and having that currency becoming an integral part of the international currency of last resort. What are your comments on that, Valentin?
So, hi, Al. Thanks a lot for having me on the show. If I may add, I'm just currently I escaped the New York cold and I went to my hometown of Munich, Germany, which is too warm, but better than being in the freezing cold of New York City. But I'm based in New York, usually where also our Epoch Times headquarters are. So yeah, China. I've been following the economy very closely because, like you say, we have a focus on the socioeconomic picture there, from the deep political divisions within the regime to the harakiri economic policies that come out of it. And with respect to the asset-backed currency, that's quite an interesting topic. Now, as a spoiler alert for the listeners who've heard me previously, there are not many new developments, but the topic is so interesting, it makes sense to repeat the big points here. Now, what is Al saying? Is China going for gold-backed asset-backed currency? I would say yes, they are. And then there are two things. First of all, why are they doing it? Second, are they actually able to make it? So let's look at why are they doing it. And then we have to look at the Chinese economic model. And I've explained that before. So the Chinese economic model was built on first population growth and then second cheap labor that was from the 80s to the beginning of the 2000s. But those two factors, and of course those two factors driving the export market. But those two factors wore off during the last decade. And now, for example, we have some of the Mexican wages being on par with the Chinese wages, with the quality, well, depending on the product, I would guess being better in Mexico. So that's wearing off. So what did they do during the last financial crisis? They launched a massive stimulus package, and contrary to popular opinion, so the stimulus was $600 billion at the time, about probably 25 to 30% of GDP, pretty massive at that time in 2008. And contrary to popular opinion, it wasn't funded by the huge surplus of treasury bills that the Central Bank of China has on its books. No, it was funded by credit expansion. So that's the first lag we have here, credit expansion in local governments and also through state-owned enterprises and banks. And that worked for a while. They kept the growth up. Inflation was running pretty high, but officially within limits. But the problem, we all know it, if you do that, is you create huge inefficiencies in capital allocation. So we've seen the movies about the ghost cities, about the airports that nobody uses, about the replica of Paris. No, they built an Austrian city. That was news coming out recently. They replicated an Austrian city that nobody is using. So big waste of resources anyway. So that is now really, during the last year, we've seen that this credit-driven model is really hitting a brick wall. It just can't go on for much longer. So that's the first major inefficiency in capital allocation in the Chinese economy. And then the second one is merely in terms of production. And there we have statistics from 2010 from the Bank of America. I have those. And they say that, well, in 2010, China had 10% of world GDP, but used 50% of the world cement. And stuff like that with oil is a bit less extreme, but with steel and copper, it's about the same, 30 to 50%, with only 10% of the output. So you have to ask yourself, how long can you do that? And there it pays again to look at the system itself. Does the Chinese system encourage innovation? No, it doesn't, because of this communist mentality of getting ahead of each other in a bad way. They always cheat and copy, but they cannot really innovate. So they realized this, and now I think they're making a desperate effort to open the economy with this. They're modeling the Shanghai Free Trade Zone and the Shenzhen Free Trade Zone, where foreign companies can actually buy up Chinese companies without having to enter in a joint venture with a state-controlled company. So they're desperate for efficiencies in their economy, and this is part of it. And then, so obviously, if they do that, then they would be like any other nation on Earth. They would be completely dominated by the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency. So just to not be completely screwed, they are executing this plan of becoming a viable reserve currency themselves. And that we've seen through the numerous swap agreements that they've signed, the push they did with the gold. They accumulate a massive amount of gold. And if I may add here, it's still very, very little in terms of currency in circulation. It's less reserve than we have in the United States or Europe. It's a lot in absolute amounts, but not much if you look at the total base money. Anyway, so they're buying the gold. They're buying resources, but they're not stocking the resources. They're using them because they need to, and they want to, you know, have a seat at the table. But ultimately, to be honest, I think this is really a big gamble they're making, because if they really open the economy, then and they don't manage to install the yuan as a reserve currency, and there are many arguments against it, they're going to have, the U.S. is going to control them economically.
Valentin, I like to take a look at different economies around the world from a very financial standpoint, just because that is my background. And when you look at what's going on over in China, about 2 weeks ago, they had an interest rate that spiked above 10%. The Bank of China, the People's Bank of China, had to step in and inject $55 billion to bring that back down. Total debt in China has risen from 125% of GDP in 2008 to 215% in 2012. Credit has also gone through the roof. We're seeing a lot of similar problems that China has compared to the U.S. And do you think that China will continue the gold buying that we have seen in the last year?
Yeah, of course they will. Will it help them ultimately? To be honest, I don't think so, but yeah.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Valentin is a very, very interesting guy, let me tell you, and the Epoch Times is a very interesting paper. We'll provide a link to the paper on our site, so stick around, we're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
The bad boy of broadcasting, ManCow, has found a new home. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, Valentin Schmidt is a very, very interesting man. I'm glad to see that he's taken over the business page of the Epoch Times as the editor. We met Valentin in New York, if I'm not mistaken, Corey. I think that was last year. And, you know, he's a pretty impressive journalist, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's great to talk to about China issues because it's a big player in our world, and he seems to be very hooked in what's going on over there.
Absolutely no question about that. Okay, changing the subject, we're going to talk about one of our sponsor companies right now. Again, in the interest of full disclosure, I am personally invested in this company, bought stock out of the open market, and I hope everybody realizes that. Rypatch Gold, we're chatting with Bill Howell. We're not going to waste any more time talking about the settlement, the legal settlement that they entered into with Coeur d'Alene Mines, because that, to me, is a no-brainer. They walked out of that settlement very quickly, which I think was very effective on the part of Bill's actions, and they walked out with a lot of money. Rypatch currently has more money at its disposal than almost any junior exploration company. Having said that, we're going to chat a little bit about what you guys are going to be doing to advance your properties, Bill, in 2014. You got the mic, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Al. Thanks for having me on again. We're quite excited by 2014. You know, the market, of course, is still a little bit unstable. We're hoping that that's going to sort itself out by mid-year, but we're pushing forward with our preliminary economic analysis on the Orianna trend. We're looking at our Wilco, Lincoln Hill, and Gold Ridge properties. We're going to consolidate those into sort of a one operator and multiple ore zones and come out with a single preliminary economic analysis on the area there. As well as, you know, we have our royalty, which we kind of consider our ATM machine sitting on the Orianna trend there as well with Rochester's operating mine. And then as far as drilling goes, we currently have two pit shells that have been generated at $1,200 gold. And what we're looking to do is there's an area between those two pit shells, roughly 300 to 400 meters in length, that we're going to address with some drilling with the idea that perhaps we can join those two pits together and make one giant pit that'll look sort of like a boomerang in shape. So that's one area that we're permitting right now and getting ready to start drilling there sometime in March, April. And then at Lincoln Hill, you know, as part of the settlement with Coeur, we didn't give back all of the LH claims. In fact, we kept a large portion, another roughly square mile of land to the south of Lincoln Hill that covers what's called Independence Hill. And our work there last year really was positive in the form of very good surface samples in both gold and silver. We've been able to identify the ore-controlling structures coming out of the Lincoln Hill resource. We've been able to chase those to the south, roughly another 1.2, 1.3 kilometers farther south. And we really think there's some significant upside for Lincoln Hill. So that's another area that we'll start drilling in, you know, April, May, time frame this coming year. And then, of course, we're still very excited with our land position over at Cortez. You know, Barrick continues to drill at their Gold Rush deposit, expanding that resource to the south towards our Garden Gate Pass property. And, you know, we plan to do some drilling there. And, in fact, those permits are in the works. And that'll be the first project out of the chute. We'll start drilling there probably late January or early February. And so we'll have lots of news flow coming out with the PEA scheduled to come out sometime in the first quarter, most likely first part of March, and then drilling starting at GGP, Wilco, and Lincoln Hill. So we're quite excited by the year. We'll spend in the ground roughly $4 million. And, you know, with that, we hope to expand our current resource holdings on the Orianna Trend, as well as potentially make a new discovery along the Cortez Trend.
Bill, you mentioned that we're really hoping that the market turns around here sometime this year. But you know what, even if it doesn't, at least Rypatch is still set up with, as you said, this ATM machine that will manage to keep the lights on and the drills turning, which is more than a lot of companies out there right now can do. And you mentioned that the drill program that will be moving forward, there are a lot of properties out there, and I'm glad that you guys are focusing on a couple initially. How many meters are you planning on drilling in the early part of 2014 that we can look for news coming out maybe in the first half?
Well, you know, I don't like to be too prescriptive. I mean, we like to have results-driven type exploration. The better the results, the more drilling we'll do. And, that's the beauty with having cash in the bank, and that is that as we get good results, we can continue on with more meters of drilling rather than, you know, being stuck and going out for another financing or something. I mean, I think that's really one of the aspects that people should consider with Rye Patch, in that we've got a number of catalysts coming up in 2014. We don't need to go back to the market to get a financing. You know, we're not going to dilute our shareholders, our current shareholders. And so, you know, right now I think there's some real opportunity for people who are value investors in the market.
You know, I got to tell you, Bill, we don't give investment on advice on this show. We give opinions, you know, because we're not registered investment advisors, and it's not our place to do that, you know. But my opinion is I have to. It's just an opinion, not investment advice. I have to agree with you on that. It just strikes me that the junior resource sector is an interesting place to invest in. I've been involved in it for 35 years, and yeah, I've had my ups and downs, but I've had an awful lot of fun, for lack of better terms. Now, having said that, I have had a lot of fun in that area over the years, you know, but we are in a market right now that is absolutely abysmal. We have some stocks out there trading below cash value. I got to tell you, man, the companies that are solid, that have money, that have properties, you know, it may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen tomorrow being Sunday. It may not happen on Monday, but it's going to happen. These companies, for just solid economic reasons, are going to come back in spades. In my opinion, address that issue for us, would you? We got about a minute left here.
Well, I agree. I mean, and just to kind of go back to where you started with the Sullivan. I mean, you know, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. And you know, right now, Rye Patch is going to be one of those companies that's going to come out of this slump that the sector's seeing in a very positive, strong position. And so, I think, you know, that really says it all. I mean, it's hard to not like a company that's got cash in the bank, cash flow, and a resource base that's pushing towards an economic analysis. So I think, you know, that says it all.
Bill, we really appreciate you taking time to join us. Give us an update on where Rye Patch is moving. There's no doubt that Rye Patch has money in the bank and a plan moving forward in 2014. It must feel nice getting that legal settlement behind you and being able to start putting some money back into the ground on your own properties. I know Al and myself are looking forward to seeing what comes out of the drilling that you guys are planning for 2014. Everybody, stick around. We're going to continue on with the weekend edition of the Coyle Economics Report right after this.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter
matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Dr. Peter Klein of the Mises Institute is with us right now. Dr. Klein is a graduate of Auburn University. We were kind of chatting off mic a little bit about the football game. He agreed it was a great game, and we all agreed that yeah, it would have been kind of neat to see the Tigers win on that one. But having said that, Pete, we have an interesting situation in our country right now, in my opinion. I don't know if the statistics would back me up, but in my humble opinion, the thing that really made this country great, which is entrepreneurship, is really, really missing. Any comments?
Well, we do have a lot of activity that is commonly described as entrepreneurship. We have a lot of tech companies. We have a lot of web-based businesses. We do have people starting small enterprise. But I think you're right that entrepreneurship in the broader sense of creative, innovative business decision making is under fire today, and it's mostly because of the political and legal and regulatory environment. I mean, none of the great enterprises of yore would have been able to grow and thrive and prosper if they had been faced with the same kind of political constraints, governmental constraints that any business in the U.S. faces today.
Peter, I think that's interesting that you say entrepreneurs, in a way, have it tougher now because of these political and legal constraints. And it's something that I know, coming from a CA background and having friends that are lawyers, you need to just cover your behind so much in today when you step out on your own. There are so many loopholes and laws that you need to make sure you follow, because if you don't do that, well, then somebody's going to come after you and really just collapse whatever you're starting. Would you agree?
That's right. You know, whether it be patent law, labor law, environmental law, the whole gamut of restrictions that any kind of firm faces today. I mean, that really takes a huge amount of time and energy. It's a distraction from the entrepreneur's creativity. And even worse, it gives rise to a class of what you might call political entrepreneurs or policy entrepreneurs who specialize in exploiting governmental bureaucracy, who know how to get favors, who engage in what economists sometimes call rent seeking, you know, working the regulations in their favor, lobbying the government and otherwise trying to get ahead, not by serving the consumer and making society better off, but by working the political game.
I don't know. I really wonder, you know, it's so obvious to people like myself. I mean, that what really made this country great was a lack of government involvement. What really made this country great was human initiative. What really made this country great is the incentive of being able to be successful if you just work hard. Pete, I got to tell you, we don't have that in this country anymore, man.
Well, I mean, I think I largely agree with you. We have a different mentality nowadays. And, I think what happened is people reacted or in some cases overreacted to what they perceived as problems in the 19th century, early 20th century, and so on. You know, I mean, and the good thing about the good and bad thing about a dynamic, exciting capitalist economy is you have a lot of change, you have a lot of winners, but you have losers too. Losers in the sense that I tried a business idea and the consumers didn't want to buy my product, and now I've got to try something else. Right? Mises always emphasized that the capitalist system is not properly described as a profit system. You know, that's half right. It's a profit and loss system. And in our society today, we, you know, are sometimes okay with people keeping the profits that we make, but we want to socialize all the losses. And that makes it very difficult for entrepreneurs to innovate and to compete. They tend to act differently than they otherwise would, knowing that somebody else is going to pick up the tab if things don't work out.
Pete, when we were talking off mic, you mentioned that you really got interested in this entrepreneurship in general, by the way how Mises wrote about it and his beliefs on that. And I was hoping you could explain to our audience why or how this really interested you in this aspect, but then also how the definition of an entrepreneur has changed over time and what the differences are of what we think it is and what Mises considered an entrepreneur.
Hey, that's a great question. Nowadays, when most people hear the word entrepreneur, they think of a small business, they think of self-employment, a sole proprietorship, maybe, but not exclusively in the technology sector. And those are all parts of the entrepreneurial economy, to be sure. But if you look at the way the term was traditionally used from the beginning of economic science up until, really just the last few decades, it was much broader than that. It was really a sense of the decision maker, the person who takes initiative, the person who bears responsibility for allocating resources in a market economy. You know, the word entrepreneur is of French origin, and it comes from a French word that, you know, can be translated to do or to make or to facilitate. So small business owners, of course, are entrepreneurs in that sense, but investors and executives and capitalists and people involved with all kinds of enterprises can be entrepreneurs as well, to the extent that they are bearing risks, that they have skin in the game, that they're making decisions, that they bear responsibility, that they have some ultimate decision authority. That's really the way Mises conceives of the entrepreneur. And as you mentioned, you know, I was reading Mises and studying the Austrian school economists, and I realized that they talked about entrepreneurs a lot. Whereas modern economics textbooks, unless they're dealing specifically with small business, let's say, or the patent system, rarely talk about entrepreneurs. In fact, if you look at the leading economics textbooks, most of them don't even have entrepreneur in the index. And I noticed the Austrians were always talking about entrepreneurs, so I wanted to find out why. And I discovered that Mises had this very broad notion of the people who are really making a market economy go, the driving force of a market economy, he called it. And that was not the bureaucrats, and that was not the labor unions, that was not government regulators. It was these active, creative, thinking, uncertainty-bearing decision makers.
You talk about active people, active, intelligent, entrepreneurial types, you know, and you compare them with our typical government officials right now. And I got to tell you, man,
to Al Corlin anyway, that's just really definitely not the case. We published an interview that you did with a fellow by the name of Steve Mariotti on the subject of entrepreneurship. I thought it was a very, very interesting interview. What did you walk away from that particular discussion? Anything really stick out in your mind?
Well, sure. The interviewer, Steve Mariotti, is an expert in entrepreneurship education, and he's thought a lot about how we can teach entrepreneurship, not, you know, to MBA students, but to high school students and even to primary school students, how we can get kids to think creatively, to take initiative, to understand what it means to act responsibly, and to bear some of the losses as well as reaping the gains. And in talking to Steve over a number of years about this subject more generally, I've come to appreciate that the notion of entrepreneurship that's in Mises is something that applies in all walks of life. I mean, all of us are entrepreneurial in a sense in our daily lives, in our families, in our homes, in our private lives. Now, one can think of entrepreneurship a little bit more narrowly in, you know, sort of a commercial sense, and that's mainly what Mises was writing about. But I think we want a creative entrepreneurial society more generally, where we teach people that they have to take responsibility, that they can, you know, think outside the box, so to speak. That's, of course, not what most the American educational establishment wants to do, right? They want people to think inside little boxes and, you know, to be docile and to take instruction from their elders and so on. And we're probably doing our kids a disservice. Anyway, the point is, you know, even using examples from business in school, I think is a great way to get students to think about this. You know, every kid in elementary school and junior high has to learn about all the U.S. presidents and maybe the vice presidents and the great government, the great pieces of legislation and history. What if we threw most of that out and had our kids in school learning about the great entrepreneurs? What if they were studying Thomas Edison and John D. Rockefeller and Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and so on? That would probably be a much better use of their time than what they do now, which is mostly study the government.
It would be a hell of a lot better use of their time. I don't think there's any question whatsoever about that, because it's people like Thomas Edison, the original Rockefeller, Steve Jobs, et cetera, et cetera. It's people like that that have made the United States what it is. And I got to tell you, if it weren't for people like that, a lot of the takers in our society would not be in as good a position as they're in right now. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. Corey and I are going to be right back with Glenn Downs.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com, or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes, for today's modern smoker.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Hi, my name is DeRay, suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Okay, Corey and I are here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. Got our buddy Glenn Downs on the line with us. If nothing, Glenn, I don't want to say if nothing because he's really a good guy. He's a lot of things, but he's very definitely our source for information when it comes to Washington, D.C. We're going to talk about a number of things today. We're going to talk about the unemployment numbers that came out yesterday. Happy days are here again, Glenn. You know, you've been wrong. Everybody's been wrong. We're down to 6.7% unemployment rate. I got to tell you, the administration is doing a phenomenal job. They're up for sainthood. Oh, wait a minute. 92 million Americans aren't included in that labor force number. Why is that?
Well, Al, thank you very much for having me back. And it's they're not included because that's just the way Washington works. Once upon a time, I kind of ran what they call the federal state cooperative labor statistics programs for the state of North Carolina, and that's where they aggregate the numbers. They collect the numbers all across at the state level and then aggregate them up to the Department of Labor and the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And they've changed the way they calculate these numbers. And I know you've talked to people like John Williams and others who would tell you how if they just calculated things like inflation and unemployment the way that they did back, say, when George Herbert Walker Bush was president, the numbers would be very, very different than what we're seeing now. And that's it. So what they do is if the typical month you have to have about 150,000 new jobs created just because of population growth and people coming into the workforce in order just to keep the unemployment rate flat. Yet we're seeing, you know, job creation numbers that are far lower than that, yet the unemployment rates drops, and the way they do it is they just say, you're no longer in the labor force. So when you're trying to do this management of perception economics, M-O-P-E, that people within the Obama administration are so enamored with, the idea that if you act like a winner, you'll feel like a winner. If you feel like a winner, you'll be a winner, and that kind of thing translated over to economic policy, the idea is if everybody thinks things as if the problems are all psychologically based, if you just make people think things are getting better, then they'll stop being scared and they'll come out from under get their money out from under some mattress someplace and go out and spend it and get this economy moving again. So now we've just got these Potemkin villages of statistics that are being set up, and you really just can't believe much of anything, at least at face value, of what's coming out of Washington, D.C. these days.
Glenn, what really sticks with me is that this the labor force participation rate dropped to a 35-year low. We haven't seen these levels since 1978. We're down to around 63% of people actually participating in the labor force. And yes, we're seeing unemployment rate drop, but that's not the true story. And the administration has to understand that, don't they? From what it sounds like, you're saying that as long as they put a good spin on it, then everything's okay. But they can't truly believe that this is moving in the right direction, can they?
Well, there are certain elements within government. They've got the ability to delude themselves a lot if they want to. But you're right, Corey. Actually, one of the things that you will really, if you spend a little time around here, it becomes very obvious that everything is geared around the next election cycle and about affecting the news cycles and polling numbers. And if massaging the truth, you know, ends up delaying a day of reckoning, or even if you know you're not going to postpone it, you might be able to postpone it until after the next political cycle. And if that's the case, then, hey, you survive and live on. You got to think about the way most people in power, whether they're Republicans, Democrats, or something else, think that the purpose, the number one purpose, like being an amoeba or something in a petri dish, the number one purpose for your existence in their mind is to continue to exist. So, you know, having some people want to have a majority in order to do things or accomplish certain policy goals. But the number one thing is live to fight another day, keep your power, your majority, and that's the way things work here. So, listen, I went to a lunch. I remember it was an off-the-record lunch, but the time's passed now, and Alan Greenspan was the speaker. Now, he was no longer the chairman of the Federal Reserve, but he was discussing openly, in non-Greenspan speak, his belief that there was just no constituency in the United States for controlling spending, cutting spending. And he opined that he had talked with, then at that time, a very senior member of the economic team in the Obama administration, who I took to be Larry Summers. I don't know that, but that's who I just teased out of my own mind. And they both agreed, Greenspan said, in non-Greenspan speak, that how is this going to resolve itself? The highest probability was a crisis of some sort. Well, in the question and answer period, I did have the chance to ask the question, and I asked him, well, to what extent would you acknowledge, Greenspan, that the Federal Reserve had culpability in this by accommodating all of the deficit spending and the contingent liabilities that have been sort of built up in the architecture of the federal government. That's when he did shift into Greenspan speak, and he talked about something I didn't ask, and then he moved on to the next question. But here you had the former chairman of the Federal Reserve saying in a closed-door session, hey, the greatest probability is crisis. You know, that's not crazy conspiracy internet stuff. This is somebody that people used to just, you know, hang on his every word. So, in the meantime, people just around here just want to keep doing what they have been doing in hopes that somehow things get going again and we get quote-unquote back to normal. But I think they want to do everything but reexamine the basic assumptions upon which they drive their policy decisions. And so, as long as they can, you know, speak no evil, hear no evil, see no evil, they'll just keep doing what they do until they have that Wile E. Coyote moment and go over the cliff.
Glenn, I have to tell you, I think that Wile E. Coyote moment is definitely going to happen. And, you know, and I've said this a million times on the show before, and I'll say it again. There is no way from a fundamental standpoint that the current economic conditions can go on indefinitely. There is no way that this can work because of basic economic fundamentals. I agree 1,000% with Mr. Greenspan's comment about we're going to have a crisis. I do not see how we can avoid that. the government, the Federal Reserve, etc., they're not lying, but they're not really telling the whole truth. And the reason I say that is because of the size of the labor force, okay, the number of people that are not included in the labor force. Talk about a great example of, you know, numbers can say anything you want to depending on which numbers you choose. I mean, this is only one example of some of the myriad of BS that's coming out in the conventional press. I mean, let's talk about the inflation numbers. You know, let's talk about other things. Let's talk about the ridiculous nature of adding, you know, a huge, huge amount of dollars to the money supply on a regular basis. None of this stuff has any basis in safe action for the country other than things will probably continue as they are right now as long as people continue to believe the emperor has no clothes and they don't become absolutely terrified. Do you agree with that?
Well, sure do, Al. You know, the problem is that when everybody wants to head for the exit of the burning movie theater all at one time, then that's what a crisis looks like. And people are trying to do things to protect themselves. You know, there's some people, you know, people have divided opinions about gold, I know. But as the Australian economist Steve Keen once said up in New York, I went up to visit with him there, he said, well, gold is a barbarous relic, but in barbarous times, relics do well. And so people are trying to find things. Hey, well, here's, you know, you can't trust the Fed. You can't trust the numbers that are coming out of Washington. So, you know, you're trying to find safety hedges and things that are real, things that can't be confiscated away or inflated away. And so it's like investing and making life decisions in a hall of mirrors, because you are a rational person or a rational actor trying to make rational decisions based upon a prognostication about what irrational thing your government in Washington will do next. It's like walking into an insane asylum and trying to figure out the next move of some crazy woman that is in a straitjacket.
No, that's exactly the point, Glenn. We've got to take a break. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be right back.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.